This is Wellness Wednesday. Here's your host, Karen Hunter.
Yes. Can't make this up. All of this talk about food and dieting and exercise. This is a perfect guest to have, and I've been wanting to talk with her again on Wellness Wednesday. Let me welcome to the show 2023 South Carolina Farmer of the Year. I'm going to put it that. We're going to do that. Let me welcome the one and only Bonita D. Clemens, the pharmacist. Hello.
Hi. This was a pleasure.
Listen, I love the name. I love what you do. I think more of us are getting our hands in the soil. One of my neighbors just put a greenhouse in, and she was like, "Come on, plant something." I'm like, "Okay, I'll be there. I'm gonna put my collard greens in the ground." You know, it's amazing, yeah. And we're gonna be feeding each other. You know, which I think is how we started. We need to get back to it. So, Bonita, explain or tell us how you became the pharmacist.
It all started really when I was in a terrible car accident. As a result of that, I wanted to be healthy and whole again. So I went back to how I grew up, which was the food. And just dealing a lot with the food, letting the nutrition heal my body again, because I was sick for about 5 years, 3 major life-changing surgeries. And I didn't want to be addicted to pain medication and other prescribed drugs. So I was like, what can I do? I just threw all the medicines away and again went to what I knew, which was nutrition. So I was deep into the nutrition, and one day I heard about a Black family who were organic farmers. I found them in Sumter, South Carolina. And I went there to get food, and he's since passed away. He's an ancestor now. Mr. Aziz Mustafa said, "Sit down, young lady, have a seat." And I did. And after about 3 hours, I said, "I need to go." But he said, "You're the one." And I said, "I'm the one to do what?" He said, "To get this information out about the food." I said, "Well, I don't want to be the one. I just want to come and get my food and go home." He said, "It's not your choice."
Wow.
"You've been chosen." I'm like, "Well, why?" He said, "Because you have that piece of paper." I said, "But you have the knowledge. You've been doing this." They had 50 acres organic. Now that's hard. I said, "But you have the knowledge." He said, "But you have the love, and you have a piece of paper." And I said, "What paper?" He said, "You have a degree. And people will... you have a lot of credibility with that degree, and they'll listen to you before they listen to me." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, I don't want to be the one." That was in 2008. Next thing I know,
here you are.
You're the one.
I say, I'm one of the ones. It's a lot of us out here. And what I'm doing is trying to connect us all. And Karen, I like to say that the pharmacist is my brick. I am a Nubian. Since March of 2021.
Wow. Because we're coming up on the fifth rotation. And that was that first time when we said, you know, this is what it's going to be. And I always imagined, there's my imagination, that it would be a space by us, for us, where people would find their corner. We do have a farming community in there, which I'm sure you're in a group.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're leading it in many ways. And I didn't necessarily know that because, you know, again, we are... it's ubiquitous, you know, right now where we are. We're everywhere. So I love this. This is the way forward. We've been talking about this from the beginning. So to have all Black, all women, organic farming co-op collective.
Yes.
What did that require? How did you,
number one, you have to be a female. Number two, you have to be Black. And I don't waver on that. I've had a lot of journalists say, "Why Black women?" I don't waver on it. I'm real clear about it. We all are real clear about it. And what it looks like is women coming together, having fun, learning how to be healthier, learning how the power of collective work. So usually on the first week when I have the pharmacist experience, we all get in the field and they look at it, because I make sure it looks real raggedy. And it's about 20 or 30 of us. And I said, "Come on, we're going to clean this up with our hands." And in an hour or so, everything looks beautiful. And I said, "Can you imagine what it would take one woman to do this?" And so what we do is we go to other sisters who own farms and we help them work. And what we can do in 3 to 4 hours, they always tell us it would take them 3 to 4 weeks to do. But we're doing it with fun, having a good time, Last cohort, I had a sister. She was in her 70s and she had an oxygen tank. She's had cancer a couple of times. She said, "I don't want to hold y'all up." I said, "No, ma'am, you're going to be in this class." She motivated everybody. She would walk in the rain. We walk. She would walk in the rain no matter what. A few times I was afraid, but she didn't let it stop her. But her being in that class motivated everybody. So imagine sisters being in a field having fun. You know, we break down that wall of not wanting to be in the field because there is a lot of trauma and stigma attached to being in the field. But when I took sisters out there in 2016, this is our 10th year anniversary, we made it look fun and sexy. Now it is hard work. Now trust me, it's hard work. But it is so important, number one, and we need it, and it heals. I had one sister who was having breast issues. She would come out every single Tuesday and put her hands in that soil, and she had some special oils. And after a while, she said, her doctor said, "What are you doing? Because we don't see these issues with your breast anymore." And she attributes that to her hands being in the soil. But I
Can
have
I,
many stories, many, many stories. The sister,
Bonita?
again,
I'm sorry. I have just sorry. I have a couple questions. One, when you after your accident, you said you this is how you got started. I'm curious about what exactly did you do to heal yourself? Like, was there a certain kind of, did you just wholesale change your diet, or was there a certain herb or whatever? That's the first thing. And number two, do you think that we have a disconnect between the food that we eat and how it is prepared, and that not just the pesticides and all other stuff, but the fact that we are just not connected to our food anymore is a big part of our problem?
Absolutely. So the first thing what I did, I was in the car accident in 1992. Now, I graduated and went to Benedict in 83. So when I went to college, I got away from eating whole foods because my grandparents were farmers. They grew, so that's what I knew. And when I went to college in 83, that was the first time I had a Big Mac. And I had a Big Mac before then. So, I was c accustomed to whole foods. Well, you go to college, you do what college students do. I ate what we, everything that I didn't eat at home. So I was accustomed to eating that, buying prepackaged foods. And so after the accident, I was feeling so bad because there's an incision from my breast all the way down to my pubic hair. They just sliced me open, exploratory surgery. So when they, after the surgery, I couldn't eat certain things. So I started to remove certain foods. Of course, the prepackaged food I had to remove first. And I started to pay attention to what felt good when I ate it. That was one thing. Then, now imagine this in South Carolina in the early 90s. I started meditating. I started doing yoga, and my family said she's lost her mind. First, when I stopped eating pork, they was like, "Something's going on with her." Then I took out beef, but I did that to feel good. But when I threw in the meditation and the yoga, she gone, y'all. Something wrong with her. But again, that was in the 90s, so it wasn't a, being in the South, it wasn't a
Well,
household name.
that was radical though, Bonita. That was very radical. And I hate that I asked you what does it require, because that wasn't the question that I really wanted to ask. But Renee a asked the question that I really wanted to ask as well. But that you were doing something radical in the 90s, because especially in certain, black cultures, that yoga, that meditation was looked upon as like, that's devil stuff. That's not what we do.
That's not what we do. Now,
So how did you
South
discover it,
Carolina.
to her point? How did you wh Who led you to that? Like, where were you reading a book or?
I did. So one, the first book I read was Ho African Holistic Health by Dr. Olayla Africa. I wrote him a letter. That's when you could snail mail. And I told him what I was going through. And he wrote me back. He was in Beaufort. He was living in Beaufort at the time. He wrote me back. And I told him that I was on so many pain medications. And he said, "For your pain," he said, "this is what the pharmaceutical companies do. They take a herb and they wrap it in synthetics. So I want you to go straight to the root. You go straight to the herb. For your pain, buy some white willow bark." Till this day, I have that in my house. So I read African Holistic Health. That's what really set me off, that book. From that book other books. But that's the one thing that really catapulted me, and then just started. And right before the accident, I had desire to go back to school because I had an undergrad degree, but I wanted to get a master's degree, but in something that I really wanted to get it in, and it had just happened to be public health. And so with public health and learning about that, I wanted to do things holistically. So that's when I kicked in. So I started with the nutrition, reading that book, and then just reading more books and talking to people who had cured cancer, who had cured their bodies, and they were doing it holistically. So then I came up with what I call the SPICE nutrition philosophy that I live my life by. And SPICE stands for spiritual, physical, intellectual, cultural, and the E is for economics, emotion, and environment. And those are the ingredients that I use for a balanced life. And as far as the disconnect, we've been disconnected for a long time. Last week, I did a presentation with some college students, and they were all in. But there were some older sisters afterwards, they said, "I am never going back to the field." And I said, "I understand there was trauma when you were a little kid." I say, "But if your parents would have paid you, it wouldn't have felt so bad." I trust me, because I watch other communities and they pay their kids and they train their kids on how to do farming. And that's not so much trauma when you get paid, but anyone, if you're made to do something and you don't get paid, yeah, you're gonna have some trauma behind it. So there is a lot of trauma because of the history, and there
I was
is a
gonna say,
big disconnect, but we are reconnecting.
some of that might be epigenetic as well. You know,
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
that
yes. Oh, yes.
field also bore the lash. It also bore a lot of, you know,
Yeah.
degradation and rape and
Yes.
brutality
Pain.
that, you
Yeah.
know, and cotton alone, you know, we talk about the pricks on the fingers and
Yeah.
having to pick 500 pounds a day, or else, you know, it really is epigenetically, I think, keeping us from the very thing that we need to heal us.
Yes.
And it's the land, it's the
Yes.
soil, it's the
Yes.
seed, it's the
Yes.
food, it's the medicine, it's all of
That's
that.
the medicine. And so we say we grow medicine.
Perfect. I love it. Now, it seems like when you hear organic, people think, oh, that's got to be expensive. But how does somebody go about eating an organic lifestyle, using an organic lifestyle if they say don't have access to a farm or a fresh farm stand or something like that? What can they do?
Well, organic, first of all, that word has been hijacked. So it a lot of to call yourself organic really requires a lot of money and a lot of time and energy. So we have to say the word natural. We don't put any pesticides because we know we're going to eat this food. So we don't put any pesticides on it. For those who don't have access, we start small. We start in a pot, bucket, a bag. You got to start somewhere, but we also encourage people to get five people. Everybody grow one thing and feed each
That's it.
other.
That's it.
Just
Wow.
learn
That's
how to
it.
grow one thing. And about the cotton, Karen, I picked cotton one time in my life. I was about 6 or 7. I wanted to go with my aunties, and we worked all day, and they put a coin in my hand. I wasn't six, I was 5 or 6, because they put a coin in my hand. I knew then that I didn't want to do that no more. I didn't go back no more. They put a coin. Maybe if they would have given me a dollar, I would have come, but they put a coin. I was like, not doing this. So I was kind of traumatized. And about 3 years ago, I went to a farm that's owned by a white family, and they had cotton. And I was hesitating as to whether or not to go in the field and talk about cotton. And I said, "Benita, you're traumatized by this." I was, and my sister, I posted the cotton, I posted on Facebook. My sister texted me. She was like, "That don't feel good." But we need cotton, So we do have a relationship with it that's not, it's epigenetics, it's historical, it's tough, but we are breaking down that stigma of being in the field. And when you see black women in that field having fun, feeding themselves, loving each other, having a good time, then that stigma just falls away.
And that's part of the healing, because the
That is
thing
the
from the
healing.
watermelon, which they tried to demonize, to
Yes.
they this was a way for us to not just make a life but make a living, to feed ourselves and our community. It was, and then they demonized the watermelon to the point where, you know, we don't even want to eat watermelon. especially not in public. But that was done diabolically on purpose, because Black people were becoming self-sufficient off of watermelon. Yeah. And if we could feed ourselves, then we don't need anybody. And the next frontier is water, because water is important. And they are making it very, very scarce, and they're ruining the water sources. How do you irrigate or water your farm areas?
So we keep up with all of that. So I have an urban farm. I'm in the city, right? But there have been some changes with urban farming, so I'm getting ready to get a well. My other farms that I work with, again, it's a collective that are in the rural areas, they have wells. They all have wells. And so that's how they irrigate. They irrigate with the wells.
Well, so they pump it out of the well into the crops. Wow. And so the well water is non-contaminated, I guess? Or they
it's non-contaminated, yes.
Yeah, wow.
So they have to test it. They have to test it, of course. And then we'll just run a large pipe. We run what we call drip tape around the plants. It's got a little hole. And that's how we water, but it comes straight from the well.
Wow.
Did you learn all this from I've forgotten the man's name who you sat down with?
Mr. Aziz Mustafa. A lot of it. But like right now, I work with very, very closely with about 12 Black farmers.
Okay.
And I just spoke with one last night, and y'all, they're elder for me mean 70 and 80s, and they still work and they still grow. And their children are not interested. So it breaks my heart that their children are not interested, but I don't.
Yeah.
Well, what I've noticed is when they see me around their parents a lot, then they come around. So good.
Yeah. Get jealous. My mother's husband.
I'm jealous, especially the boys. Yeah. The boys like, let me get out here with her. Cause I have one farmer, he just plants watermelon. And I'll go out because I like to show people when we're putting, the seeds in the ground, I like to give them the progression. So by the time we harvest, they're already sold. Oh. And it's in a town called Blackville. There's a town called Blackville. Blackville, South Carolina has.
Let me get
the most watermelons are grown in Blackville. Blackville, South Carolina. And Blackville also has a spring that there's a trust, and you cannot sell the water, but they call it the Healing Springs. The Healing Springs is in Blackville, South Carolina.
All right. There's so many. Let me ask you, 866-801-8255. We're talking with Benita D. Clemens. She is 2023 South Carolina Farm of the Year. She's also the pharmacist, pharmacis.com is where you can find her as well. As you came into Nubia, because, you know, I'm in right now Carver's classroom, which is farming and agriculture. We have chats, we have feeds, we have, you know, all of the people can come in. What drew you to Nubia? I'm just always curious. And how have you utilized this space? Because, again, that's imagination.
I was listening to in class with Dr. Carr. So I knew of Dr. Carr from my African history lesson. So I started in the 90s again.
Right.
When I was sick, I had a gastroenterologist and Dr. Bernie Gallman, and he would have African history classes. This doctor would come and sit in my room and we would talk each time I was in the hospital. So I started learning about African history, and then it evolved and I learned about all of the books that we talk about. I had a book, Meta Nature. In 1996, I went to Egypt. I was on the study tour, and I think that was the first year Dr. Carr went, 96, but he was on another tour, but we did see them. But anyway, that's how I kind of got started with learning about Nubia, because I was in the class, and then I heard you talking about Nubia and telling us we got to bring our brick. And so my handle is @Benita. So I got in there early.
Smart.
Yeah, I got in there early. That's the first time I've ever been able to use my name and not have to put numbers behind it. But I felt and knew I've always wanted to be in a collective, because that's the way. That's the only way.
Yes.
And I knew listening every week to In Class with Carr, it was my opening to it, to knowing about Nubia.
I love it. I love it. Well, now I'm following you because I haven't been, which is a shame. So now I'm following the pharmacist. 866-801-8255. Benita D. Clemens is here. If you're in Nubia, at Benita, follow her and let's get that the Carver's Classroom going as well. Let's go to Gina in Washington, D.C. She has a question. Renee Seiler is here as well. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Karen. Hello, Benita and Renee.
Hi.
I'm excited to be on because as I'm listening to you all talk, I realize I need to be in Nubia because I have farmland that my grandfather farmed over 50 years ago, and I'm the only grandchild who has this burning desire to bring it back to its glory. And the land has grown up. There's trees. I was down in South Carolina. I was there about a month ago during Christmas time, and I talked to my uncle because he has a trailer on the land, and he said I could use 2 acres to start out with getting it back, bringing a farm back. So my question is, how exactly should I tackle, like, getting the trees or the everything's grown up? So is bringing animals to the ground to eat the vegetation a good way to get started? How do I?
Where is the land located?
It's in Anderson, South Carolina.
No, we just talked
about How about that? That's where I'm from, Anderson. Yeah. Look at that.
Really?
Oh, so we're probably God, cousins. Gina, we're probably related, Gina. We're probably related.
You know the Dobbins so the first... bridge, Scott?
Repeat that.
The Dobbins bridge, Scott. That's my family's name.
Dobbins bridge. Okay. I know some Scots off of Dobbins Bridge Road.
Yeah.
But what
that's
you
my family.
Okay. So you would get someone that does small tracks. They can remove the trees. But since you're from Anderson, get with me offline, or you can put info@thepharmacist.com, send me an email, and maybe we can meet in Anderson and I can give you more instructions on what to do and how to do. If you want animals to eat, the best thing to get is some goats. They'll eat everything.
I was gonna say I've seen goats clear everything.
I've seen them clear 50 acres.
And then then you could do a baby goat yoga class, put them to work in that way too. Yo, let them goats. And then, you know, if you're getting froggy, get you some goat meat and get a Jamaican to make you some. Anyway, I'm not going to, because I don't want to get you upset about the meat. But yeah, is your diet complete?
Email, Gina.
Okay, so Gina, you got that? Okay. Oh, okay. Alexa's going to get the number. All right. So between Renee's fasting and your diet is clean, Bonita,
yes.
Are you a vegetarian?
Vegan? It is clean.
Okay.
I say I am vegan-ish.
Okay. I like it.
So plant-based and vegan-ish.
Yeah. All right.
I just love that smoked Gouda cheese. Now
okay.
I'm gonna give it up.
Thank you.
I love it.
Listen, we have to be happy and healthy, and that's
yes.
wholeness is not being too extreme in one direction or another.
Yes.
A little bit of poison is not bad. As a matter of fact, nature requires it. Nature requires a little bit.
Karen, I got to tell you this. My grandmother will turn 99.
Wow.
On the 27th, Friday. So we having her birthday party. People say, what does she eat? I say, she eat everything except shrimp, Chinese food, and spicy. That's it. Everything else is free game. She's everything.
Wow.
Everything, y'all. And she still works and she still drives.
What?
Yes, she still works and drives.
Oh,
99,
wow.
She works on a 4-lane highway directing traffic.
No way.
The work is so hard, police officers don't want to do it. Yes.
That's crazy.
And she still dances. And so, yeah, so
I love it.
She eats everything. She nothing's off limits.
So,
I love it.
We do Urban View gives as a way of, you know, helping ourselves help one another. And so next month I selected pharmacists, you know, as one of the groups that we would bless this Aww. Audience would bless. And so I just want y'all to know next month is pharmacists, because as we go into the farming season, and I like that you took, you know, you take people to seed to harvest. is what's the corridor? Is that March, April, May? Like when should we be planting? If we're doing it in our homes, if we're doing it in an urban setting, what's the best time?
It really depends on what zone you're in. So I'm in South Carolina, so I'm going to talk about South Carolina. Now is the time you want to start your seeds. And going back to the old farmer's almanac, we like to put things in the ground after the last frost. Each year, that's a different time, but you can look it up and see when the last frost is. That's when we either put the seed or transport the transplant, which is so
something
like
started,
now.
You
can start the transplants anywhere between January and in the last frost, you can put them in. Now, with our watermelon in South Carolina, we start seeding in March, and we put them in the greenhouse. In about three or 4 weeks, we set them out then.
Okay.
Now is the time to start. And, you know, I began to say, I'm going to start my new year in March because March is when it's popping. That's when we want to start planting.
I didn't even know that, but I'm led. I'm led right now by the Holy Spirit. So for people who want to, when's your next cohort? When are you going out to?
My next cohort starts. So I do one live class a year. Throughout the year, we have a lot of activities. The next class starts March 29th. So for 7 weeks, we will have 15 activities. We're going to visit 5 farms. We're going to go for walks. We're going to go visit a juice bar that's owned by a pharmacist that was in my last class. And again, it's a 7-week in-person class. We go the 5 farms we're going to go visit. We work on those farms.
We got a minute. How many people?
Up to 30 people.
Okay.
Each
All
year.
Right.
I take up to 30. That's all I can handle.
But
I got another group that's starting in the upstate. So we're looking to start doing chapters
all over
the
country. Okay.
Absolutely.
And me and you are going to be in touch because we're going to do something in Nubia as well. Bonita D. Clemens.
Love
okay, I'm following you now so we can DM each other in Nubia. Thepharmacist.com. And, of course, Urban View Gives next month. You'll see all that information and you can go straight there. Thank you for coming through. I appreciate you.
Yes.
Thank you for making sure that I had my brick, and it's the pharmacist.
You did it.